Father, we ask upon this passage in 3 John, we just ask, Lord, that you would open it up to our lives and to our hearts. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that Janice and I have purchased Vic's old house, purchased a house up there on Glenwood Avenue, and we decided we'd do some work to it. It's turned into a major overhaul. And my son-in-law, my daughter, Rachel, son-in-law, Austin, Nate, his wife, Leah, they've jumped in and they've thrown in a helping hand. But we're now getting down to the countdown, as Diana said. It's funny, when I drove in this morning, I thought I would do a little countdown with you and stop at 4, because we've got, today is 4, I think, and then we got 3 left after that. Doesn't matter. But we're getting awful close to the moving date. As a matter of fact, what is today's date? The 9th? The 8th. My moving date for the conference is the 23rd of June. My moving date per my calendar is the 20th of June. And what that means is the moving company is coming on the 20th. And as you saw in some of those pictures last week, we're in a problematic situation here. Things aren't falling into place. Anyway, last week we came, Janice and I, to Hartville. And we were visiting a place looking at countertops. And after the countertops, my son Nate, who works over there at Rock Solid, said, why don't you come over here for a little bit? And he does a lot of work on stone, on houses, and also fireplaces, interior walls and things. And we had talked about at some point redoing the fireplace. But we went in there, and he's showing us around the stonework and stuff, and we're looking at it. And Janice said, I like this or whatever, and we left. For whatever reason, I did not go back to the house that night as everybody was doing some work. And the next morning, I got up at 6 in the morning and went over to the house, which has all the trim removed, has all new trim in the basement that needed painted, has got the complete rip-up on the floors going on, is in utter chaos, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I walk into that house, and sometime in the 12 hours from when I was there last, the fireplace disappeared. Nate had been there the night before, and I thought he was installing trim, but he thought it'd be a good idea to rip up the fireplace. And all I could see was one more challenge. You understand what I'm saying? It's funny, that kitchen floor, I showed it to you last week, just had, this much done. Austin put that down. Lo and behold, I had ripped up the old one and put down plywood or flooring on the floor. Austin put out about this much wood. Nate showed up one night this week, and I mean to tell you, he took off, man. And those boards are just 2 inches. 2 inches. Going across that room, it takes a lot of time to get all that hardwood flooring laid. He left, there was about this much left, and yesterday Austin and I went in there and we finished up what was left. Austin will come in behind the fact and he'll sand everything down. He'll finish everything off. Nate and I will work on the trim. All that to say, at some point in history, somebody did something like that. Back about 2000. And before that, somebody did something like that when the place was built. And it's always kind of turning over and over. Do you know that's how your church works? Do you know that's how your church works? Debbie said earlier, I'm going to be leaving, and you'll get Scott in here as a new pastor. I want to tell you, you are getting a good guy. You are getting a really good pastor. He can do things that you wish I could. He is a standout musician, a great preacher, and you are getting, in my opinion, the best of the best to be the pastor at Westbrook Park Church. Now, having said that to you, you need to know that he's going to do things different than I have. You also need to know that if you think hard enough, when I came, I did things different than Jonathan Reese did. It's because everybody does their piece. And everybody does their part. And you all have worked across years, or maybe the short time you've been here, or the lifetime you've been here, to see things get done. But things get done. They get done by various people in various ways. We build upon one another, and sometimes we have to step aside and tear something down to build something up. You know how that goes. It's kind of like working on a house. When John wrote his letter to Gaius, the elder, he was kind of building upon what Jesus did. And as he comes to the church and he writes this letter to them, he's going to tell them a whole bunch of stuff about what needs to be. But right in the middle of this message, there's this 9th and 10th verses that ought to drive you bananas. He says, I've written something to the church. We don't know what he wrote. We think the letter is lost. He says, I've written something to the church, but get this, he says, but Diotrephes. And I always love that little phrase right there, but Diotrephes. Diotrephes was the but. My friend Carl Fannin always says, when you see the word but, you have to ask yourself, is that a big but? This is a big but. I've written a letter to the church, but Diotrephes. You want to pay attention right there. What's Diotrephes about? He likes to put himself first. Can you see that on screen? But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Now, John was writing a letter. Remember, this is the John that walked with Jesus. He's writing the letter about missionaries that have been sent out in various places. And when they came to the communities and they identified people who were of what we called it that, they called it that time, the way. People, as I read a little bit ago, of the name. People who were followers of Jesus. As those missionaries came into community to preach the word, to share the good news, they needed somewhere to stay. They needed some way to be sustained. They needed to eat. They needed to drink. And John is writing and saying to the church, here is how you do this. You take care of them and send them on their way. There's a way to do it that the church would do. There's a way that Jesus would do this. And right in the middle of that message, John says, I wrote a letter to you, but Diotrephes, who likes to be first, kind of makes you wonder what happened to that letter, right? What happened to that letter? Did Diotrephes get the letter and just tear it up and throw it in a trash can so nobody'd see it? Did Diotrephes get the letter and read it and say, well, I'm not going to share it with him? We don't know what happened, but John did. And John says, I wrote a letter to you, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Now, I want you to stop for a minute and put all this together. Have you ever seen the person that wants to be first? That wants to be first. That always has to be heard. That always has to be seen. Who wants you to know that they know more than anybody else. That's Diotrephes. You know how sad it is that, in my opinion, every church has one or two Diotrephes. John was not addressing something and fixing it because it just continues on. John is writing about a man who somewhere has thwarted his request that the church take care of these missionaries. Why? We don't know. You know, I had a church a long time ago, and we were begging people for money to pay the electric bill. I was very young, one of my first churches. We were begging people to pay the electric bill. Back when electric bills were not what they are today, it wasn't that much money. And somehow or another, it was discovered that somebody in the church who loved to let husband and wife, loved to let everybody know how special they were, how wonderful they were, how stand up they were, it was discovered that underneath their bed, in their home, was a certificate in the name of the church worth over $30,000, which was a lot of money for that church at that time. But they felt like they knew more and better than the peasants in the church, and they would manage that, and they'd let the pastor go on begging for money to pay the electric bill, and we'd poor mouth everybody and tell everybody how bad it was. And in the process, please understand me, they were placing themselves ahead of everybody else. Are you with me? That's Diotrephes. And we don't know, according to this passage, what exactly happened, but it appears that his attitude and his way of doing business kind of forced some people out of the church. And again, you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why do people do things? We don't know. The human heart is sinful. The human heart is set from the very beginning in a way to do not what God would have us do, but what we would do. And that means we place ourselves first. Diotrephes, I can picture it, probably had an inflated, maybe even a dictator-like ego. And I got to tell you, that's not the best personality to put in charge of church business. Maybe Gaius, who John's writing to, this elder statesman of the church, maybe Gaius and Diotrephes had some type of a personal thing going on. I've served in churches where church business was thwarted, was hindered, was actually stopped because two men in the church couldn't get together on the basis of their son's little league team. Isn't that sad? What were they thinking about? Themselves. 40 years, can I tell you something? I've been there, I've done that, I bought the t-shirt. Diotrephes, it says, John writes and says, John, who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and prayed with Jesus and ate with Jesus, he says he'll have nothing to do with us. That's what it said in the scripture this morning. And he's gossiping maliciously about us. And he refuses to welcome the brothers that we send. You know right from the start that deep down inside, no matter what Diotrephes is presenting to those around him, Diotrephes is actually worried about himself. Diotrephes wants to have authority. Diotrephes is worried about his own position and not in the position of God. And you wonder what exactly was in John's letter when he says to Gaius, I wrote you a letter. I wrote you a letter to the church. But Diotrephes. Diotrephes, who always wants to be first. You know, it's in our heart to be first. We want to be first. Now, Rob's not here today. Rob is a runner. And Rob only knows me. And 3 weeks ago, my son Nate ran in the Cleveland Marathon. And I was telling Rob, you know, my son ran in the Cleveland Marathon. Does anybody here a runner? Anybody know how long it should take to do a marathon? Anybody here like that? Okay. So you'll understand this. The rest of you just listen in for a minute. Rob and I are talking, and I said, yeah, Nate ran a marathon. And I said, I don't want to waste time. I said, what would be a good time? And Rob said to me, well, and he kind of hesitated. He said, I suppose about 5 hours. That seemed long to me, but I don't know anything about marathons. I went home and got on the Cleveland Marathon site and looked up Nate Adkins. And Nate Adkins ran that race in 3 hours, 19 minutes, and 59 seconds. Boy, I got to tell Rob that. You know, Nate did it in 3 hours, 19 minutes, 59, 3 hours, 20 minutes. And then it hit me. When I asked Rob, or said to Rob, you know, my son Nate ran in the Cleveland Marathon, how long would it be a good time? Rob probably looked at Nate's dad and said, well, 5 hours for a guy like you, and I'm guessing your son's got that DNA, 5 hours would be good for him. Nate finished 3 hours and 20 minutes. Now, on one hand, I'm so proud of him, but you know, if your name's Adkins, you should have come in first place, Nate, right? Everybody wants to be first. Diotrephes. And he wanted to be first in the church so much that he would recognize no authority. And so John, the apostle, the one who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and ate with Jesus and laid his head on Jesus' breast, wrote the book of Revelation, had a visitation from God in the form of a vision. He said this, so if I come, I'll bring up what he's doing. He's talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. You know, when the church reaches the point where it decides that they got to sort out who's the boss. They're probably in trouble. Jesus' disciples in the book of Matthew 18 argued over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said the first will be last and the last will be first. Sometimes in the local church we get in that position where we decide that, well, we're going to have the people in charge be people that have been here the longest, or the people who seem to be the most learned, or maybe we're going to have the people who exert the most influence over others. Maybe the boss is supposed to be the pastor, I don't know. But Paul the Apostle put it this way. If there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from love, if there's any participation in God's Spirit, if there's any Christian affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of that same mind. Have that same love. Be in full unity and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count everyone around you more significant than yourselves. Don't look on your own interests, but look at the interests of others. Let this mind be in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, he emptied himself and took upon himself a servant. I said that wrong. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, took the form of a servant, and allowed himself to be born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the point of death on a cross. And because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name on heaven and on earth, that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. That's what a leader looks like from a Christian perspective. Diotrephes was motivated by his own pride. Instead of giving glory to Jesus, he claimed it for himself. He had the final say about everything in the church. Decisions were determined by one thing. What would Diotrephes do? He would have been the last person to repeat the lines of John the Baptist. He must increase, and I must decrease. The attitude of Diotrephes was consistently, and this I know, constantly and consistently, I know by the verb in the original Greek text, to promote himself. Westbrook Park Church, I'm going to say something very blunt to you. To our visitors, I apologize. You have not lived through what this church has lived through. Resident dictators are not the ideal for Christ and his local church. The Holy Spirit is always grieved when members of the body of Christ are not allowed to use their gifts for his glory, because any one person has to have their own way. At the judgment seat of Christ one day, I believe we'll see how many hearts have been lost, how many souls have not been saved because of the Diotrephes in our midst. And now I'll close with just 4 points. Diotrephes refused to receive John. John was the emissary of Christ. Why did he reject John? I think it's because it was competition. As you receive a new pastor shortly, church, I want to tell you something. You love him, you support him, you carry him, you do all you can because God has sent him here for your soul's care. You love him the way you loved me, and things will be well. Diotrephes refused to be honest about John. Church is one thing that I am ashamed of in the church, and that is gossip. Not saying you did it, but it's out there. Diotrephes probably spread all he could about John. And remember, what we're supposed to do is filter things through the lens of Jesus. Paul said it this way: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Church, think about the things that God's done in your midst already and trust for what he's going to do in the future. Put everything that you hear through the lens of Jesus and not through the lens of any one person. Diotrephes refused to receive John's friends. He would not even receive other Christians because he had to have himself be first. He would retaliate against those who disagreed. Don't let that go on. If you're going to have guilt by association, be sure your association is with Christ. I've written you a letter, Gaius, but Diotrephes kept the church from hearing it. You know, in East Liverpool, and I'm about to close, in East Liverpool, back in the day, we had a thing called the Honda Shop. It wasn't Honda cars, it was Honda motorcycles. Sat down on Dresden Avenue, sold many bikes and motorcycles. I have had some form of two-wheeled vehicle since I was 10 years of age. My first bike came from the Honda Shop. Honda Shop had a lady salesman there named Honda Jane. I might get in trouble telling this story, but Honda Jane was the top salesman. That motorcycle guy seemed to like Honda Jane. But back in that day, Honda had a motto. I don't know if they still use it or not. I have a Honda. I don't know if they still have it or not. Does anybody know what that motto was? Follow the leader. He's on a Honda. That was their motto back then. Sold a ton of bikes with that little phrase. Follow the leader. He's on a Honda. That was before the Harley craze. Westbrook Park Church, my word to you would be something similar to that, but just a little different. Follow the leader, he's on a cross. The greatest leader that ever lived was not the person who spoke the loudest. The greatest leader that ever lived was not the person who had all the letters behind his name. The greatest person that ever lived in your Savior was not someone who worked as a medical doctor, an accountant, or an attorney somewhere. It was a carpenter from a little town who roamed around for 3 years and gathered up followers. And when his father asked him to die upon a cross, he said, I will, and he did. He walked around saying things like this: take up your cross and follow me. He walked around saying things like this: the first will be last, and the last will be first. He walked around saying things like this: you Pharisees long to sit in your flowing robes in high places, but you're actually like whited sepulchres. You look beautiful outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Follow the leader. He died on a cross. The good news is, church, that who you need to be like is not Diotrephes. Who you need to follow is not Diotrephes, but who you need to stick with is the one that died for you and showed you what a real leader looks like. And it doesn't get any better than the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we will close with this song.